Okay, thanks very much. And the first thing I want to thank the organizers once again for invitation and to participate in this workshop and give a talk here. So we already heard some talks which were concerned on billiards, and on Monday will be day of this gambling. But let me still remind you definition. So to play billiards, even mathematical billiards, you need a billiard table. So a billiard table Q, it was not a billiard short. Okay. And billiard table Q is a bounded closed subset of Euclidean plane. Mostly I will talk about two-dimensional billiards. At the end, I hope to say several words about high-dimensional billiards. And this is configuration space. And dynamics is organized like that. So you pick a point inside, and then it moves with some velocity up to the boundary. And at the boundary, which I assume to be equipped with field of inner normals. Okay, so N of Q. This orbit gets reflected according to the law of elastic reflections, which means that angle of incidence, this one, equals to the angle of reflection. Okay, then we continue this orbit, and we'll get dynamical system. Because at the moment of reflection, only normal components change sign, so absolute value of velocity is constant, and we can set it to be 1. Therefore, we get dynamical system with continuous time, which is called mathematical billiard, in Q times S1. Now, looking at this picture, we can immediately observe that billiards, models billiards, they do have very natural Poincaré section. So it is global Poincaré section. Any orbit will be reflected from the boundary dQ. And therefore, we can consider billiard map following orbit only at the moment of reflection from the boundary. Okay, so image of this unit vector is going to be this unit vector, where, of course, again, these two angles are equal to each other. So this is x, this is tx, and then we have two coordinates. One is cyclic coordinate s, okay, along the boundary of billiard, and another one is just angle between inner normal and velocity vector, which is varied between minus pi over 2 and pi over 2. And it could be, in general, another component of the boundary, but I'm not going to consider this today, something like that. So just as also boundary, this type, this part is excluded. So in this case, if you have only one component of the boundary, phase space of a billiard is cylinder in these coordinates, where this is cyclic coordinate S, and this is coordinate phi. Upper boundary is phi equals pi over 2 tangent reflection, and another tangent reflection, phi equals minus pi over 2. So we have phase space of this system, which is of this map, which is cylinder, topologically cylinder. And, well, this talk is well placed because it is Hamiltonian system. So phase space of the flow, according to Liouville theorem, is preserved. It's just product of area on a billiard table times angle here. But when we project this invariant measure on the boundary, we'll get measure, which is invariant measure for our map T, I'm sorry, just M of this cylinder, which is the mu of x, is some normalization constant, cosine phi d phi dx. And of course, Billiards appear very naturally, we already fulfilled it in mechanics and geometric optics, geometric acoustics, and in quantum theory, etc. Okay, one of the goals of my talk, and it is joint work with Alex Grieber, who is here, and paper is published in Communications, Mathematical Physics, 2010. One of the goals is to explain why in mathematical papers about billiards, you never see such billiard table, which is smooth, okay, very nice. Why in mathematical papers they have different shape, either simpler or much more complicated. Okay, so, and in order to, okay, explain it, let me start with the history. And, well, what actually is considered in mathematical papers, what kind of billiards? And, of course, we all know well that kids in kindergarten learn about Sobolev spaces. But what do they do after graduating from kindergarten? I claim, and I hope to convince you, that they study billiards in school. And here is an example. Let's consider, actually proof, if you wish, constructive proof, consider circle, right? Then what do kids learn in school? They learn the following, that if you take one chord of some length, and then another chord of the same length, then both these chords are on the same distance from the center. Yes? So this is really a deep result that people study in school. And here, simple corollary. So corollary is the following. Billiard in a circle is integrable. Indeed, what is orbit? Okay, so it goes like that, then it gets reflected, yes? Angles of incidence and reflection are equal, and therefore these two chords on the same distance. And entire orbit, and orbit of billiard is a broken line, is on the same length from the center. And such curve is called in geometric optics, this concentric circle, in this case, caustics. So caustics is such curve on a billiard table that has the following property. So if some segment, so link of this broken line, is tangent to caustic, that all the other links are also tangent to this caustic. And here we have what? We have foliation of this cylinder of phase space into tori, right? And this tori here are just phi equals constant. So nobody knows who was the first person who considered billiard in a circle. Okay? So, but what special about circle? It's not only smooth, its boundary is not only smooth, which I denote dq, but it's also convex, right? So what is natural candidate to consider? Natural candidate is ellipse. And here we are legging all names of people who consider them the first. So, well, it's somehow follows from result of Jacobi about integrability of geodesic flow on ellipsoid. Well, but usually it's called Birkhoff's billiards. And in this case, one has, oh, probably it's too low, sorry. Okay. One has two families of characteristics. One is confocal ellipses, and another one is confocal hyperbolas. So there are two families of characteristics, and so it's also completely integrable Dirichlet. Birghoff conjecture, which is still open, is that there are only two these examples in a class of all smooth convex Dirichlets. It is still open. Okay? So, but you see what are the systems, Dirichlet tables that were considered first. So they are smooth and convex. Okay? And then let me mention here several other important results. So, for instance, okay, so let me push it up. So, fundamental result by Lazutkin, it's 1973, tells that if you have convex two-dimensional Dirichlet and boundary belongs to the class C553, okay, I didn't expect that people will laugh on this conference, because usually often people laugh, but why KM theory is called not KA theory but KM theory? Because here there were perturbations, which are real analytic, but Jürgen Moser made extremely important step, and this step was from infinity to finite thing, but okay, C333. And in case of Dirichlet, pardon? What? Yeah, I know, but still, well, wrong. But still, it was big one, you know, so that, well, again? Okay, so just, well. Right, but what is important in natural equation, what is the minimal one? And so later, Rafael Doadi decreased, decreased to C6. Okay. So, but what I wanted to mention, I wanted to cite exactly result by Lazutkin, fundamental result, and this guy corresponds exactly to that. Yes? Because what it is, it's KM result. If you have convex smooth boundary, then this orbit is periodic one. Do KM around. And then what he proved, okay, sorry, just, oh. Yeah, I cannot do that, yes. So, that in neighborhood, okay, there is infinitely many characteristics. Okay, actually uncountable number. Then, if I'm not mistaken, John Mather, I'm not mistaken in the name, but maybe it's 83, right? I hope. 83. John was shown that if at least at one point curvature equals zero, then there are no characteristics in the corresponding Dirichlet. Okay? So you see that if curvature is not bounded from below, like of course it was in Lazutkin Dirichlet, then picture drastically changes. Okay. Now, another pictures appears after this groundbreaking, fundamental, everything we can be said about that paper by Sinai in 70, where he introduced Sinai Dirichlets that already were referred on this conference, of course. So you take a torus, and you cut out one or several smooth convex domains. Okay, and consider Biller in a complement. Then, in this case, boundary again is smooth, but it's totally opposite situation, and results are totally opposite. So with this equipment by inner normals, in convex Billiards, you have curvature of the boundary negative, but here curvature is positive. And this is the first examples of chaotic billiards, which are ergodic, mixing, well, K systems, and as Коля Чернов and Haskell proved. They had more general results, how one gets also Bernoulli systems, not only for dispersion billiards, but for much bigger class of hyperbolic systems. So, again, boundary is smooth, okay, and very nice. So now, next paper was 73, where boundary became like that. So 2D billiards, again, it is dispersion billiard, so this is Sinai billiard, dispersing. And here you allow singularities of the boundary, okay? So you see, it's not a smooth boundary, there are singularities, but measure of all orbits that hit singularities is zero, and therefore we can do all the stuff again. In this paper, there was condition that components of the boundary intersect transversely, so angle is strictly positive, but this condition was removed by Rihasik in 96. Okay, so you see, again, now these are two types of boundaries, so convex, and very bad boundary, right, which mathematicians were working with, and in a sense, continue to work with. And why? As usual, answer is, well, because we can deal with that, we can prove something about that. But what is really behind these conditions? So when you assume that we are dealing with some class of billiards with boundary which has discontinuity and so on and so forth. So usually it is assumed if one consider ergodic properties or statistical properties that boundary consists of finite number of smooth components of class C3, or if one can consider topological geometric properties at least C2. Why at least C2? Because Halpern in 77 have shown constructive example that if it's less than C2, then there is such orbit, could be such orbit, which makes infinitely many collisions with the boundary, infinitely many reflections from the boundary in a finite time. So it's singular trajectories which are unwanted. Okay, now why in dispersion billiards, in Sinai billiards, we have hyperbolicity. So this is a major mechanism which produces chaotic or statistical behavior in dynamical systems. To understand that, I need two formulas, which are known in geometric optics for several centuries. So, and they are concerned with these two processes that we have in billiards. What are these two processes? One process is free propagation within a table. Another process is reflection from the boundary. Okay? So, and, well, we will look at some initial conditions, okay, which will be just, for simplicity, parallel beam of rays, narrow parallel beam of rays. So, when this beam change its structure, so how we are going to describe it, we take orthogonal front, and so it will be described by what? By curvature of this front around some point x. Okay? Then what happens when beam of rays propagate without reflection? Okay, let's take, nothing happens if it is parallel, but let's take it to be, say, convex or dispersing. Then this is what we have. This is our initial beam. And this is propagation without reflection from the boundary. So this is point x0, this vector. And during time t, there were no reflections from the boundary. So what is going to happen with the front, curvature of front? So it's easy to see. So here, radius of curvature is 1 over kappa at x0. Here, 1 over kappa at xt. And difference of radius of curvature is t. So this is what we have, that kappa of xt is kappa of x0 over 1 plus over 1 plus kappa of x0. Okay, so this is for free propagation within. What happens at the moment when okay, what happens at the moment when beam hits the boundary? So it has some curvature before and after. Then it is also, well, high school. It's two triangles one need to consider in order to get that curvature after reflection is represented like that. Curvature after reflection is curvature before reflection plus 2k over cosine phi, where phi is angle of incidence, and k is curvature of the boundary at the point of reflection. This is called mirror formula. Second one. Mirror formula in geometric optics. And now we see immediately, we can immediately just make a picture what is happening, why we have hyperbolicity, well, divergence of nearby orbits in dispersing billiards. So you have this. So, and remember, we have two coordinates. One coordinate is length, another coordinate is angle. But angle is completely described by curvature. So here, length of front increases, right, during the free flight. And at the moment of reflection, according to this formula, curvature has a jump. And if we have components of the boundary which are strictly converge inside, then what we have that this k on entire table is greater than k minimum, which is greater than zero. Okay, so therefore picture is the following. So again, we have, because here jump of curvature, jump of angle, and so on and so forth. And positive Lyapunov exponent would be immediately written in the form which involves only these three times and curvatures of the boundary at the moment of reflection. Okay, so this is mechanism of dispersing. So mechanism of dispersing which generate hyperbolicity in billiards and well, also it's well analogous to geodesic flows on surfaces, manifolds with negative curvature. Okay, but what happens if you have something like that? If you have focusing component and say other dispersing. So, well, idea, it's actually problem was formulated by Sinai. Well, according to some paper by Hopf, that what will happen if we make here very small focusing component? And why we want it very small? Because in focusing billiards, we have integrability, right? So what happens in focusing billiards? Look, if you have focusing component, but again, according to these formulas, instead of parallel beam, after reflection, we will get this. And so you have convergence instead of divergence. This is actually what happens. Okay, but still it occurred, okay, that it's possible to construct focusing billiards even without the dispersing components, where still hyperbolicity is present. And so this is what may happen. Between two consecutive reflections, this focusing beam, it converges, but if this time of divergence is bigger, then effectively you have the same thing. So if this time equal to this time, this is where you have dispersing. Then, if curvature is sufficiently big, so to say, then you have jump here, and again such picture. Okay, so again you have mechanism which is called mechanism of defocusing by natural reason. Okay, by the way, the first example was not this stadium that it's very degenerate. The first example is exactly a realization of this. Is just you take, okay, again circle, but consider it as a pie, and you should not be very greedy. If you cut for yourself piece that is less than half of this pie, you will get again curvated billiard with this mechanism. And now comes question: if you have only dispersing components of billiards, then dispersing billiards, that is, well, it's always curvatic, right? But if it's focusing component, then sometimes it's even integrable, sometimes it's curvatic. A natural question that was posed in 88, I believe, or somewhere in mid-80s, was the following. Which focusing curve, or mirror sometimes it's called, could be a part of chaotic billiard, which means that it's ergodic, mixing, and all this stuff. And so, answer to this question, why mathematicians consider, well, very complicated boundary, is that because, okay, you want to prove that it's really hyperbolic billiard, and you put some specific properties. But here is exact question, you know, what should be this focusing component? What kind of focusing component is allowed? And the answer to this question, now it's basically, well, complete. I will say why it's basically complete. Okay, so is the following. All focusing components should be absolutely focusing. This is seemingly a new notion in geometric optics. So what is it about? What is focusing component? Focusing component means the following. You have this curve, this component, and so it will focus any incoming parallel beam, well, according to this formula, right, after reflection. They all will be convergent. What is, after the reflection, what is absolute focusing? Absolute focusing is kind of basically physical definition. You consider this as physical device, and then you have incoming beam and outcoming beam. And what happens in between? In between, this beam may have very many reflections, actually about number of reflections if you change this angle. Okay, and so it's absolutely focusing curve if, okay, it focuses after the last reflection any orbit, okay? So, and independently, it was, this notion was introduced by Danet in 91, but even though he, his condition was that this beam focused between any two consecutive reflections in between, but it is equivalent, that was, well, shown in 92. This definition was in 88. You know. So, and, well, after that, it was shown that there are several papers, and I think the strongest results are by Delmania and Markarian, that if you take absolutely focusing mirror, okay, then you can construct chaotic billiard where this is part of the boundary and where this mechanism of defocusing works. So what is the natural recipe? You want long free pass, so you need to put other parts of the boundary sufficiently far away. What this paper about, essentially, that this condition, if you want to use the defocusing mechanism and to put other components of the boundary from focusing one very far as you wish, is not working if you have not absolutely focusing mirror. And this is a realization of, well, but it's, it's really Hamiltonian systems, you know, so just it's KM theory. Essentially, all the following idea. Look, what does it mean? Which was generally described in 88. What does it mean that you don't have absolutely focusing? It means that there is such beam of rays which is fallen being parallel and leaving being parallel. Right? Not convergent, but parallel. Okay? From continuity. And then, look what happens. Nearby, there are such, if you perturb this beam, nearby, there are such beams which will be convergent, but will have arbitrary long lengths when they are convergent. So instead of being divergent, we need for hyperbolicity, they will be convergent. And so this result is Alex Grigo is exactly that. It consists of two parts. Okay, first is just proof linear stability, okay, which is more or less straightforward. Okay, so then regardless how far you put other components of the boundary, okay, you may have here elliptic orbit in linear approximation, okay? And second part is by making use of Moser theorem on elliptic point structure of map near elliptic point. So we prove nonlinear stability. And in this nonlinear part, we need C5, so boundary to be of order C5. In linear part, C3 is enough, but in order to use Moser's theorem, we need C5. Now, okay, how much time I have? Thank you. Okay, so, say again? Ah, okay, fine. That formulation is the following. Let's take shortest non-absolutely focusing mirror. Okay? Now, Danay proved, among other things, that if you take any focusing curve, it could be partitioned into absolutely focusing pieces, if they are sufficiently small. So let's take the shortest non-absolutely focusing. Okay? Then it means what? It means that there exists such, otherwise it's absolutely focusing, there exists such beam of rays which is parallel, fallen on this, and leaves it being parallel again. Okay? And then exact formulation is the following in order to apply Moser's theorem. Then for any arbitrarily small extension of this, because what might happen, okay, is that this beam hits the last point and after many reflections leaves parallel from this point. And you need still some. Say again? Proof is. Statement is that if you have non-absolutely focusing component gamma, then for any L, which is the minimal free path, okay, which is could be arbitrary big, okay, there exists Bilder table that depends on gamma and L with elliptic periodic order. So basically it means that you cannot defocus non-absolutely focusing component but by putting away, okay, all the other components of boundary as far as this. Okay. So now because of Dima equation, I forgot to tell one important thing, because here everybody may be lost. So you introduce new notion of absolutely focusing. Maybe it's empty. So maybe all focusing components are also absolutely focusing. But fortunately, otherwise, I don't know what will happen to me now. Okay, it's not the case. So any arc of a circle, any arc of circle is absolutely focusing. But, well, there are different examples, but this example that, okay, belongs to Danay, even though there are elementary proofs. One of the proofs is that if you take half of ellipse, yes, and if ratio of excesses is greater than square root of 2, then it's not absolutely focusing. So there are not absolutely focusing components, it's not so difficult to construct them. Now, in this time that is left, and actually, well, some participants already mentioned to me that when there is a relay, then the last runner usually is the fastest. I got it that I need to finish at least 2 minutes before, okay, my time, so I will try to do that. Okay, and let's talk about high-dimensional situation. And there were claims, even in mathematical literature, that mechanism of defocusing does not work in high dimensions. And why? Because of physical phenomena, which is called astigmatism. What astigmatism means? It means the following. So that focusing in 3D in different sections, two-dimensional sections, yes, two-dimensional planes, is different. And we need very strong defocusing. So let's consider a mirror, which is part of a sphere. Then, okay, here, what is going to happen? Again, back to school. So here there is beam of rays. Okay, equipped with normals, velocities. And, okay, through this central, okay, so, well, bless you. Okay. Through this central velocity and center of this sphere goes one and only one plane, yes? And so, along this plane, change of curvature is given by this. It's like planar situation. But in orthogonal situation, and here, you know, so just, again, you need to consider two triangles, okay? And if you can, but, well, it was a surprise to some of my colleagues, but if you think about Baruch Spinoza and other people who really made these devices, they knew this formula. And what occurred when I was forced to make really research, it was 1829, so to the shame of mathematician, more than 150 before that some claimed it was discovered, okay, by Coddington. And its book is like treatise on propagation of rays. Okay, and formula is the following. Now we consider orthogonal section. What is going to be curvature in orthogonal plane? It's going to be orthogonal before reflection plus 2k, one over radius, times cosine phi. And we are in deep trouble, because it is real life, it's astigmatism. Why we are in trouble? We don't have jump anymore. This picture doesn't work. Seems everything is broken down, but it's not. It's fact of nature that astigmatism exists, and still defocusing mechanism works. But in 2D, I can take such okay, arbitrary close to a circle component, and everything is fine. Now, one needs to pay price to astigmatism, and so this focusing component cannot be too big. So here is example that it's not my name, so it's called mosque. So you take, say, a big cube, okay, and you put cupola on this thing, and this cupola is part of sphere, but center, okay, this angle, the central angle alpha, should be not more than pi over 2. Why? Because otherwise it is not absolutely focusing. So absolutely focusing mirror exist also in high dimensions, okay? But again, they are smaller. So just, you cannot take arbitrary big piece of this. This paper, I should say this, rehashing. Okay, so what is something like three papers. Okay, so, now, the very last thing I want to say. Well, there was a very influential paper by Maciej Witkowski. It's 86, I believe, yes. Principle to construct chaotic, hyperbolic or chaotic billiards, right? So, conclusion of my talk. All these principles should be reconsidered. okay? There, okay, so first, it's much bigger class, absolutely focusing component that was claimed there. And second, unexpectedly, recently were found when people were looking for something else, examples where hypervolicity is proven, okay, but you don't take very far other components of the boundary. It was just not what people wanted to do. There are at least two papers, okay, and that one of Marco Lenci, and I forgot the name of, you don't remember, his student, sorry. Okay, and another one, it's our paper with, Del Manio. Okay, and say, let me give this example, say. You take stadium, you cut out another stadium. This is football stadium, but now we don't play football, but we are running around. So it's called track billiards. And so this guy could be close to this one. Still. Okay? So, and Marco Lenci also, what is interesting about that here there are two ergodic components. Today, there was mentioned that it's difficult to have two ergodic components in dynamic astrophysics. So I think I have counterexample to this claim that was today, one of this, not claim, but conjecture. But here there are two ergodic components, one consists of all runners that go this way, another all runners that go this way. Okay, and the last thing that I want to say is that astigmatism was found even in dispersing billiards. Okay, so even in dispersing billiards, if you go to high dimensions, starting with three, and this is paper by, well, three or four are here, you know. It's Peter Ballant, Chernov, and trying to put together two alphabets, okay? So, Sass and Todd. Okay, so astigmatism is everywhere, and so when you're dealing with high-dimensional billiards and high-dimensional geodesics, so it's there. So now, what is the result? That basically, it's necessary condition to have absolutely focusing mirror, absolutely focusing curve. On the other hand, we just constructed that there exist nonlinearly stable periodic orders, but it's specially constructed. So I don't think that, even though conjecture is that in any billiards where part of the boundary is not absolutely focusing, there is elliptic stable periodic orbit, but in order to use all this machinery, Moser theorem, you need to know how it is organized, so just we have no idea actually how to approach this to prove in general. And so, sorry, I was not the fastest runner, but it is my great pleasure as the last speaker to ask you to join me in thanking all the organizers for this extremely pleasant and exciting meeting.